Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is the life of a CIO in 2012, and our guests for today's show are Bob Keefe and Leo Collins. Now, by the way, this show is being broadcast live from Symposium 2007 that's been held in Memphis, Tennessee. And to learn more about the show, learn more about SIM, Society of Information Management, please visit www.simnet.org. Now, Bob Keefe is the incoming president of Society of Information Management, and he's also the senior vice president and CIO of Mueller Water Products. And Leo Collins is the Vice President of Advocacy and Communities of Interest for Society of Information Management. He's also the CIO of Lime Gates Entertainment. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sanjo.
Please. So how have been the sessions so far? You've been enjoying learning a lot of things at the conference?
Oh, they've been exceptional. We've had some really good speakers from Don Tapscott and Rob Carter from FedEx, as well as some tremendous breakouts. Sessions provided by our partners. Leo, your take.
Well, I think that I completely agree. Plus, the opportunity to meet with our peers, discuss and meet old friends, as well as the hospitality of the Memphis team has just been enormous.
So you do see some trends for the future, and in fact, that's the type of show that we wanted to have here today, where we are talking about life of a CIO in 2012. Now, sometimes I really feel that CIO should get two paychecks just because of the amount of work that they do. And, you know, they have a lot of IT management challenges that they have to deal with. Now, the speed of business change is happening at a warp. It's just a warp speed at which we are handling the business change. And then you have to always be doing more with less. And competitive pressures will increase. The number of technologies that you'll juggle with that will increase. And I'm sure you never have a dull moment. So what do you think this is going to transform into in the next 5 years? Bob?
Well, if I would take a first crack at it, we actually had at Society for Information Management, we actually had in our Advanced Practices Council some research done on that. So I might want to share with your listeners what that research said. And it kind of says in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years that we see change, you know, even increasing in part due to the increased complexity and pervasiveness of technology in all of our lives, and in part by the fact that business executives are becoming more savvy about technology. We're seeing that the not only is the technology-related decisions coming to the CIO as it always has, but the CIO or the IT leadership is also going to be increasingly involved in strategy, marketing, production, financial decisions, as well as an increased role in compliance and risk management. You know, we're going to be more accountable for the profitability of the companies that we're dealing with, or the you know, betterment of the organization, creating new services, new products, and not just product support anymore, but actual product development. So, you know, we're looking into the future and saying this role is continuing to evolve and become broader, and quite frankly, probably even a little more hectic than it already is, Sanjo.
You?
I think it's very true, very true. At the same time, there's a lot of improvements that have been made by the IT profession over the past decades. The advent of things like ITIL, which provide industry-standard processes, improvements in management, monitoring tools and such, I think really helped to streamline our jobs and give us better visibility into what's happening. For decades, it was all about making sure that your equipment worked, that the basic processes happened. In many ways, a lot of these questions are still there, but at the same time, we have much better tools to manage them and to become more of a business partner with the business for higher value activities.
Now, what do you think in terms of the complexity of IT? Do you think IT would become simpler to handle in coming days, or would become complex? At this time, it looks that we will really be dealing with an 800-pound gorilla, which is also going to be you know, throwing multiple challenges, unpredictable challenges at us, given that the IT is going to become more deeply ingrained into the very business, and one, you will not be able to separate out IT from the rest of the business processes, so that, because it's going to become the very fabric. At least that's what it looks like from now. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. It is going to become part of the fabric of the business. IT is now permeating every aspect of our lives, including this conference call. So one of the important things, I think, for the IT is to partner with the business for this new future. The complexity is there, but the business processes and things are the number one issue. So being able to support the business, partner with the business, and that will drive where we go with the complexities and the new technology.
You know, I agree with Leo, but I'm also kind of an optimist here. I think in many ways our entire profession is an innovative one. You know, as we see complexities, we always tend to go out and figure out other manners, other processes, other automation to manage those complexities. So as we look to the future of ever increasing complexities, I'm looking to innovation from our profession to help us manage that. So we're definitely within the fabric of the business. You know, I see it each and every day that, you know, we've become partners of the business as opposed to kind of just out on the side doing the technology thing, and it's very rewarding.
Now, you must have noticed that when you're sitting with other business users or business unit leaders, they're looking up to you and they expect the IT leader to know anything and everything, or mostly, of course, everything about a given business unit or related processes, because they expect you to be having a deep understanding for you to be able to help automate those. But when it comes to doing anything with IT, and when you were to go back to a business unit leader to get some suggestions from them on how we can do better, then they say we don't know IT enough for us to be able to contribute. So this particular issue could become even more complex, given that you would have so many changing things, and you would be going to them to seek that how are those things going to change or create a business impact for you. They may not have a ready answer for you to be able to do your better job. So do you think that challenge is going to become even more?
Well, if I could take a first crack at that, I think it will, but I think there are methods to, you know, involve those business executives, involve those division leaderships. You know, good governance, and we've talked about IT alignment and creating good governance, goes beyond just managing IT projects. It really goes to education. It really goes to involving, you know, the staff, other functions in the staff within a business, in the whole process of technology, in the whole process of how to streamline a business. And so even though we're faced with ever-increasing complexity, if we're taking a leadership role in education and involving people, because the technology is pervasive. Everybody who's, you know, living on the planet now sees some element of technology. And we just have to kind of gear that so that we're helping the business executives who can articulate that. And so it's a really compelling thing that we need to be also challenged with.
I think that's perfectly put. To me, in many ways, the governance and alignment, which really bring IT and the business into a partnership, you know, we can't expect them to know everything about our business, and they can't expect us to know everything about theirs. And having a roadmap that's built out of a governance process, as well as a partnership that works together to drive forward to the future, I think is absolutely mandatory for us to deal with this new complex world.
Now, the way we are seeing the technology evolving, as even ourselves, we are trying to get anything on our fingertips, wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we should get instant gratification, and whatever form or fashion you want the knowledge in, we are literally demanding that. And of course, CIO and the crew, the IT crew, are the ones who are supposed to make that happen. This is going to become even more prevalent in the coming days. And so in 2012, they would be having you change the IT infrastructure or whatever else that is needed for them to get such features, functionality, and they would want it quick, like yesterday. So literally it's making CIO or there's a fear of CIO losing control of the whole situation, because there will be nothing like, you can say, corporate IT where you have a central control, because the computing and the way the features and functions are handled are going to go more in the hands of the end user. So how are we preparing the CIOs for that?
Well, if I could take a shot at that, I think that the question becomes, you know, what is your job about? In the previous century, IT basically had a hand in every aspect of the information, from the back-end databases all the way through to the terminal, then PC on the desktop. As we move into the future world of Web 2.0 and beyond, where you have consumer devices that are accessing data, there are still many areas where the quality of the data, the quality of the information, the quality of the services provided are still of paramount concern. What IT, and for example in our organization, has been focused on is addressing those issues. We don't really know what the future will bring to us, but at the same time we do know that there's core fundamental activities that have to happen, have to represent quality and availability and responsiveness. And we focus on those things. For example, many of the discussions that happened yesterday with Don Tapskip, he talked to us at SIM about Weeconomics. He pointed out that email is becoming less and less important. And we see that. We see the organic growth of things like instant messaging and texting as a way of communications. That still does not keep us from providing those services in the most cost-effective and efficient way possible to the business.
I agree with Leo. I mean, Don, who we've mentioned a couple of times, he's a kind of a on-again, off-again regular at our symposiums, but written quite a few books. He coined the term a number of years ago about the extended enterprise. And, Sanjo, you asked the question about, you know, being responsive outside of, you know, inside as well as outside. You know, we've been dealing with an extended enterprise. We've all had a contingent of our staff being not company staff, but extended, you know, IT professionals outside of our corporate walls or our organization walls. You know, I've also been lucky enough to be involved with a number of consumer products companies, and mass customization has been the buzzword for a long time. And you're just seeing that as a similar kind of thing with the end users now demanding mass customization in terms of content, time, and location. This is something that we need to find flexible solutions for.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And let's touch the topic of the IT staffing challenge that you're going to have in coming years. And we are sitting on a time bomb, which is pertaining to the baby boomer exodus. And there are other things that are happening where we are going to go after so many technologies, so many different directions. And the education system also needs to be supporting the churning out of the right type of engineers who can handle the challenges for tomorrow. So what is being done about that, and are we really expecting the CIO to be a cure-all? Should he or she be out there trying to make all of these things happen? What can we do to support them? So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages and discuss more.
Talk about his money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit CIODecisions.com/subscribe1.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune in to Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is Life of a CIO in 2012, and our guests for today's show are Bob Keefe and Leo Collins. Bob is the incoming president of Society of Information Management and senior vice president and CIO of Mueller Water Products, and Leo Collins is the vice president of advocacy and communities of interest for Society of Information Management, is also the CIO of Lion Gates Entertainment. The topic that we wanted to discuss, or the item which is related to staffing, and that's becoming one of the most biggest threat, if you will, in the coming years, given that we have a baby boomer exodus that is looming, then you would have a situation with those visa, and we are trying to lobby against getting outside workers. We do not have a good enough education system, or I would not say good enough, but yes, it's not churning out enough number of people of the right quality who can assume the positions at the grassroots level, and then we grow them, but it all takes time, and all along you'll have a huge vacuum. How are we expected to deal with that? And how are we expecting the CIO to be sitting there without the right crew or without the number and quality of people to make the magic happen? Bob?
Well, yeah, if I can, you know, I think we've always, as I said, we've always been a little bit innovative. So I'm looking around some unconventional thinking around staffing. You know, things that have led to our virtual communities, our open source projects, you know, maybe a way to kind of attack this this pressure that we're feeling of not having kind of the staffing going forward. I'm also, you know, personally, and I think many CIOs are involved in with various universities to try and improve the curriculum so that they'll be mostly landed. And I think the Society for Information Management is really aggressively going after a number of programs to make sure we have quality staffing. I'm going to let Leo, because this is Leo's sweet spot in terms of advocacy, kind of take it from here and kind of talk to you about some of those programs that we have in place.
Thank you, Bob, because it is a great lead-in. At CIM, we have a program which we call Future Potential in IT, and it has many different aspects, but the idea is that we definitely see this need for more young people to choose IT as a career. There's just simply not enough sources of IT talent today, and we need to build a pipeline that, you know, of the right people with the right skills to do the jobs for today and the future. So we have a number of different aspects to this. One is a program where CIOs visit college campuses, talk to college students, especially in the first 2 years before they've selected their majors, as well as high school students who are contemplating a career, and present to them the IT story, that all the jobs have not gone overseas, that there's a tremendous need for people. I was just talking to a recruiter a few minutes ago who told me that she had 30 openings in help desk today. So there's jobs are out there, but parents, students, faculty, guidance counselors aren't aware of them, and they aren't aware of how to align their educational experiences to achieve the best benefit in an IT career. So we're working to do that, to reach out to these organizations, provide them with speakers and materials that help them bridge that gap.
Now, we have been discussing about this topic for quite some time in terms of staffing, and we also talked about the students to be, there should be like a math reach-out campaigns, if you will, for them to know what opportunities are available. At the same time, we also see the decision-making process when a student is right at the verge of picking up a major, for example, whether they should be taking an IT-based major or it should be accounting or whatever. They are looking at the dollars and cents many times to figure out what they should get into, and that is a myopic thinking, because today whatever is hot may not be hot tomorrow. And we know IT is there to stay. So what is being done for them to understand how IT is going to play a role going forward and not just whatever they are seeing today, so that they see that there is a place for this and it is not only the mundane programming, but it is also fun?
Yeah, well, if I could just, Leo, for a second, is we also, through our SIM Foundation, and I think your question is right on. I mean, right now I know that from an engineering standpoint, at least my company is looking at almost any engineer who can fog a mirror to bring in and help us. There's a big dearth, but if you go back a number of years, we had a plentiful engineer. We're projecting that the IT profession will continue to grow, even though there's been some misinformation about how much this might be going offshore. We have within SIM Foundation, which is a 501c3 charitable organization, but certainly founded in collaboration with SIM. We've got a program called the Teen Tech Challenge to even reach back further to middle school and high school students to kind of show them what technology is all about. I mean, come on, the technology community has created things like the iPod and the iPhone and all of the software we see on our desktops and all of the laptops, all of our cellular devices and PDAs. It's a really cool profession to be in, and it's been really great for me, and I think we just need to get the word out. I'm sorry, Leo, you had a couple of thoughts too.
Oh, I very much agree. You know, I think sometimes past successes of IT work against us, and a lot of people think of IT as being, you know, a back office function and maybe less glamorous than many of the other aspects of the business. But, you know, PDAs, cell phones, texting, messaging that we've been talking about, video conferencing, all of those different things, wikis, are part of today's IT. And, you know, getting the young people to understand that this is not your father's IT. This is something new, something different. We need people. We can show them the statistics of how this area is growing, and the salaries are growing very, you know, rapidly as well. I know Bob and I both experienced that as a problem in our budgets, but for the young person, it's simply opportunity, and it's a good opportunity.
Now, talking about the do more with less mantra, you know, while we talk about these other issues that we're going to have, and then we will have to innovate. We will have to hire the right talent. We'll have to spend the time in training. Everything takes money. And at the same time, we still now, I mean, yes, we had that downturn like a couple of years ago, and after the bubble burst especially, we were watching our checkbooks very closely, and every penny that was spent on IT that was being watched and still being watched. But really, can we eat the cake and have it too when we want to innovate, when we want to train, when we want to prepare ourselves for the next 5 years or even further on? Can we just be watching it that closely and always have that do more with less? Is that even possible?
Well, I think, if you'd allow me, I think, you know, that's not really going to change. You mentioned before, Sanjo, that, you know, IT is becoming more integrated in the fabric of doing business. This is traditionally how business works. You know, you're always looking for a return on the investment, and, you know, you have either your stakeholders or someone who's expecting that. And I think the creative IT leader, you know, needs to find ways to increase business value, you know, generate revenues, prove it into the organizations. That's the changing of the playing field that's creating new business opportunities, and we see it every day in every organization. That's the proliferation of technology, and so trying to change the game a little bit so that prudent investment above and beyond those traditional metrics of return on investment are really what, you know, part of my job I feel is all about, is to say where's the sweet spot in my business. And where's the sweet spot in my organization to really accelerate, you know, technology?
No, assuming like the... Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I agree. I think that as long as I've been in this profession, we've been asked from day one to do more with less. In the old days, many of the IT decisions were basically driven by the pure limitations of the technology. Now that things are really starting to, you know, pervade every part of our life, the technology has a lot more capabilities. The important thing is to work with the business, have them partner with us, and this is where things like Bob mentioned, IT governance, become so important, so that what money is spent as an investment, the business and everyone is on board with what are the expected returns, why are we doing this, is it to save money, is it for strategic advantage or new product lines, new ways of doing business in the future. And that roadmap being laid out, I think, will make every CIO's job easier in the future.
Now, assuming that, I mean, let's assume that we are all consumers, and as an enterprise, we're a consumer of IT, and let's see when we go and take a first-class ticket, we pay more because we are expecting a premium value out of it, something special. And till the time we just are perceived as that we get just things done in a regular fashion, then maybe in the minds of executive management or people who are holding the purse strings may not see that premium that it is attached to getting the right kind of job done, and they may not open up. Do you think that approach could help getting them out of that mindset?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, is that just like, you know, the airlines have, the word is marketing, right? That you understand what your first class ticket is going to get you before you actually get to that experience. It's based upon your relationships with that airline, the previous trips, and the whole experience. So it's working with the business so that they can see that this isn't just getting things done, although that may be what the business wants. But if they want more than that, and it's working with them so that they understand the price of that ticket.
We started the program with, you know, what's the role of what's the future in 2012 of the IT leader, and how are we going to deal with it? And what we're talking about here is the foundation. It's the utility provider, you know, solid, dependable, and responsive IT infrastructure services. You know, we're upscaling that. Hopefully all of us are upscaling that to be educators, integrators, and architects of data, you know, the information steward, if you will. I think we're also, you know, with governance and developing people and inspiring organizations, there's a leadership aspect to that. And we talked earlier in terms of relationship at the vision level, at the executive level, at pulling more of the business partners in. And quite frankly, in 2012, we better be, if we're not today, better be part of the strategy. I think once organizations see the breadth of all of that, that utility provider, you know, is just going to be just the entry point, and the recognition will come.
I think we're seeing some things, if I could just visit this a little more, that people have, for example, products like the iPhone and other handheld devices, to me, are really a sea change in how things happen. The people who originally get it, and they communicate with their friends and family, their business partners and such, but then quickly the question becomes like, well, can I have my business data on that? And so what was a consumer item, they're now coming back to IT and saying, I need so much more. And they're partnering with us as to what they need, and they can now see the effort it takes to get that data out to their device. That changes their framework and view of the world, that they don't just view IT as somebody that's doing something in a back room, and I have a different technology world in my life. But now they can see the two of those things, how intricately tied together they are, and the benefits of that.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about that IT, should it be always be accepting what business innovation that is done by the business folks, or would rather be proactive and come with some ideas? And there's a culture that's created where IT is kind of almost taking a driver's seat, where the new innovation is driven through some of the technology implementations that you can put in place or whatever can be enabled by technology, and then business follows. Because many times we could be late in the game if we were to just wait for a business to wake up and try to automatically understand what IT can deliver and what IT could bring in terms of innovation. Let's talk more when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Succeeding in your business isn't just about making a living, it's a way of life. Hosts Cliff Inenko and Susan Wilson-Salovic discuss the practical as well as the not-so-practical aspects of owning your own business. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Succeeding in Your Business, right here on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Today's topic is Life of a CIO in 2012. Our regular guests for today's show are Bob Keefe and Leo Collins. Bob is the incoming president of Society of Information Management, and he's also the senior vice president and CIO of Mueller Water Products. Leo is the vice president of Advocacy and Communities of Interest for Society of Information Management and the CIO of Lion Gates Entertainment. We started talking about the way IT is looked at by the business folks, and they say, we have this new innovation or new innovative idea that we would like IT to implement for us, and the IT may not be even involved in the initial decision-making or the ideation phase, and they are left holding the bag many times. And in other cases, there are many more IT innovations that are possible just by implementation or creative implementation of IT, which is never brought to light because we expect or we also promote that IT should follow business. But why not have IT take the driver's seat and help business see the avenues which they may never be able to explore because they don't have the know-how and they always find this to be profound and we just should stay away from it?
Well, Go ahead, Bob. Why don't you take this?
Okay. Well, I think it's a pretty tough question because, you know, it suggests that and IT is pretty pervasive, but there's always going to be something going on in your organization that you may not have total knowledge of. There may be a competitive shift that you need to kind of go and get. You know, the whole we had Rob Carter of FedEx at our symposium here in Memphis, and Rob talked quite frankly about you know, what FedEx had done to kind of change the game of packaging, and that you know, UPS, while they had to spend a little bit more money, you know, it came up to speed very quickly. So sometimes you don't see who the competitors are. Sometimes you know, we've talked also about Kodak and how Kodak you know, was fighting with Fuji, and all of a sudden, you know, who comes on? Canon's in the HP, you know, with the digital part of it. So you don't know where your competition's going to be. You don't know what kind of circumstances you're going to have to relate to. But I totally agree that being proactive and getting out there, it's easier to do that. It's easier to be proactive in certain kinds of environments if speed to market is inherent in the culture of an organization. That's a no-brainer. You're gonna by definition, you're going to have to be proactive. If there's significant competition and you're always watching that, you're going to have to be proactive. So really kind of depends on the set of circumstances that you're in. But certainly I'm an advocate about, but there's environmental things that will go on. And you got to be ready for that left hook, I think.
I think that's where things like IT governance are so important. When you're in a position where you're working on innovative things that are sort of ahead of the business, at the same time the business has a long list of action items and things that they need to have done to do the business today that they are asking for. So it's important that the CIO be communicating with the business that, you know, we're looking at these things, you know, and they may have a payoff, they may be very important to us in the future, and I think it's worthwhile to do this, but there's no surprises. And then at the same time, the business can see how their efforts at looking at the future and being proactive and such feeds into IT. The business leaders will understand the importance of keeping IT in the loop and not showing up at the end and just throwing it over the wall to us, that you know, is obstacle to actually to getting things implemented quickly.
Well, if I could follow up on that, that's exactly right. I mean, the IT leader, you know, needs to be fluent in what the current technology is, and we've also said they need to have that influence on the business leadership within their organization. They need to be perceiving what could be coming down the road based on a technology change or a kind of a you know, change the paradigm kind of a shift that we might have. And as Leo says, you know, use governance, use, you know, being part of the fabric of the business, and be proactive about it and say, you know, if we turn our heads for just a second, we're going to have a whole lot of problems.
And just to jump in with a plug for SIM, that's one of the reasons why I really appreciate coming to Symposium and SIM as an organization, because I can meet my peers and find out what they're doing. That, you know, like Bob's in the very different business from mine, but in many ways we overlap in the issues of service delivery, cost containment, you know, what does the future bring? So being able to exchange ideas and be in a context of, you know, growth and learning helps me when I go back to the business and say, well, you know, in this industry, this is what they're doing.
That's exactly right, Leo. That's exactly the same reason I'm here, is because cross-industry, that's how we get knowledge. If we're focused and siloed in just our space, we're not going to see that paradigm shift. We're not going to see that change coming. But, you know, the networking and the camaraderie that we all have, and we start to kind of pick up on some trends and some things that are happening maybe way outside of what we would normally expect and say, well, man, that could influence us.
Now, the thing which you just mentioned about, or the question that we discussed just now, how hopeful are we that IT leader would get the board seat more frequently, or say in more cases, and they will get the respect. And as you said, in many cases, we are not aware of things happening within an organization where they might be shifting gears on a business front, and we are just told later. When would that respect be given where they would be invited into any such strategic business move so that we are not being informed later on?
Well, I think it goes back to some of the things we talked about earlier. If the view, and it's up to the IT leadership to really prove it to the organization, that they're as much a part of the strategy of the business, they're as much a part of the revenue generation, if it's an organization that generates revenue, they're as much a part of the streamlining of the business and its processes as anyone else. And, you know, it's really important for the IT leader in an organization to really enhance their profile with all the other senior executives, and so that they will be invited in, they will be consulted as new things come. And I think that gets back to your original question, Sanjo, where, you know, maybe we won't, maybe if we're invited in, we'll see these things coming from the different businesses and won't have to be late to the party.
I think especially as technology becomes more pervasive, you know, that in the past, people could work through a business plan and IT's contribution was basically to run the back office systems. As the back office system continues through the entire system and it's a seamless flow of information in almost every transaction that happens, that the business is beginning to see that they need to bring IT in all along the way, so that when they architect what their business plan is, that's one of the largest building blocks of their foundation. I remember early in my career, I was talking to a manager about, you know, you have a factory, you would definitely tell the factory when they had to open up their doors in the morning. You need to tell IT what it is they need to do as well to support that business. And I think a lot of progress has been made on both fronts, the business and the IT world, over the past decade on all.
Now, we have been looking at a trend where things are changing, and we cannot any longer say that we have to preserve the existing IT investments for long, and then we have to keep ripping apart what we have done to do something newer, better, and we go out and put the investment in, and definitely we get some quantum leaps in terms of the value that it creates. With that being said, the CIO's life could possibly be changing into handling a lot many more ad hoc projects in addition to all the strategic initiatives that you may have. And those strategic initiatives, while may look strategic in the beginning, but like by the time you're done with them, you may be ready for ripping them apart again. So if we are going to do all that, isn't it going to become way too much to handle for this one poor soul?
I think that's where the management techniques and things that have developed over the have been developing are a big part of helping manage that. Many of our old issues of like mainframe reliability have receded in the past, and new issues have taken it. But I think our capabilities have also improved. There are management techniques now like ITIL, which is a standardized library of processes. Those things help streamline and improve how an organization works immensely. SIM has been, I think, a leader in helping disseminate that information, and it helps the IT leadership focus more and more on the strategic business issues as these other issues of the back-end processes of help desk, service delivery, and all are handled in a regularized fashion.
No, it's really all about collaboration. You know, we're going to see we're seeing right now, it's only going to increase. We're seeing more kinds of analysis, more kinds of ad hoc kinds of requests and things. But it's all about, you know, collaboration. A strong IT group should be ahead of that. In fact, you know, based on some other questions we were talking about earlier, it should be planting those seeds of change for the newer technologies that are coming about. You know, kind of be proactive about that. Where does that fit in my organization? So that, you know, that those kind of ad hoc may be anticipated a little bit, and, you know, but not just doing it for the sake of new technology, but really looking, getting under the covers, and looking at how those can impact the business, impact your particular organization, and, you know, push those priorities forward so that, it has that enhanced business value that we're all trying to achieve. If you have an achievable vision, it just brings people to you. It's kind of like build it and they will come a little bit, but you have to make sure that you're on the mark with your business priorities and that you've got some sponsorship and support around it.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and let's talk about security. We know that security is a very important issue for us. It's been, discussed to death. It's been analyzed to death, and we've also tried to justify the cost that we incur, and then we also try to find out how much security is enough. Then what is going to be the state of implementation of security in 2012? What do we foresee, and in case the costs are to increase, how are we going to justify and what are we going to do to see if we can maintain the same levels, if not reduce the cost? So let's talk more when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to the show. Today's topic is Life of a CIO in 2012. Our guests for today's show are Bob Keefe and Leo Collins. Bob is the incoming president of Society of Information Management and Senior Vice President and CIO of Mueller Water Products. Leo is the Vice President of Advocacy and Communities of Interest for Society of Information Management and the CIO of Lionsgate Entertainment. We were talking about security. We know that we are going to create multiple access points to enterprise applications, data, and other form of communication that we're going to have within our enterprise and also with our value chain partners. So if we are going to have that many doors that we need to secure, we possibly would have more expense or expenditure that needs to happen on the security front, but can we get creative on that front so that we do not, we not question that why are we increasing costs of something which we do not know how much security do we need, because it's more a paranoia-driven thing than anything else.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think because information and access is electronic today, we never draw the corollary back to paper and physical access and how good that security was. By definition, I think we as a profession are held to a higher standard than previously on the physical security and on securing paper-based information. But be that as it may, I mean, that's the reality of the situation. That's where we are. That's the higher standard we're being held to. I continue to see, you know, better and better security capabilities out there. You know, when I came to my latest position over the last 7 months, I was also asked, they said, you know, we want you to be the HIPAA security officer as well as, you know, getting into the security officer role of other aspects of our data and our information. Well, I had to do a quick study on that, and we actually had to change some procedures within our human resource group about how they, you know, how they took care of, if you will, of information such as personal information that could get out there. I mean, we've all read in the papers about, you know, credit card information or social security numbers or things like that. I mean, you don't want your organization to be in the paper as losing kind of that credibility or that critical information. And so there's lots of challenges, but there's lots of things out there with, you know, second generation encrypting, just not allowing that kind of data to be transmitted. So I think the security groups and certainly some of the base security of firewalls and authentication, those are all moderating in cost as they mature. But some of the newer things that we're looking at for, in terms of compliance and risk management and that increased role of the CIO in that arena, you know, I think there's things that are helping us. Leo, I don't your opinions here.
Well, security is a very interesting topic in my industry because we make movies, and people are very aware of the impact of piracy on both movies and on the music industry. But what's really changed for my management is the understanding that they need to protect their intellectual property. It's not just simply the movies, but it's simple things like, let's say, a cardboard standee that's going to be put into a retail big box store. In the past, the plans for that and the activities, the costs, spreadsheets, everything like that, we kept in a locked file cabinet. And when we talked to the business about, you wouldn't just put that locked file cabinet on everybody's, you know, out on the street corner, would you? Well, when we make it electronic, we have to protect it just like the locked file cabinet in the past. And they understand that. And our business partners who are in a wide variety of industries are starting to really understand that this is about protecting the fundamental information assets of a company in an information age. And that has helped a lot with understanding, you know, the problems of having to deal with password changing and putting things in file cabinets that have access lists and stuff like that, because there's not just a dollar cost, but there's a functional cost that goes with security. And we've had great support and people thinking those things through and understanding the importance of protecting the assets of the company.
One last question. What do you think we can do in terms of educating and or grooming our existing or aspiring CIOs who would like to be ready for 2012? What do you think Society of Information Management and other organizations similar to it could be doing for this transition?
Well, continuing education is always part of our profession. If you know, technology changes so much that if you're not keeping on top of it, you just can't add that kind of business value that we're all looking for. The Society for Information Management has a couple of aspects here. For people who have reached, you know, kind of that senior IT leadership position, not just symposium that we come to once a year that has a lot of great speakers and a lot of networking and integration, but, you know, we're just developing a new web portal that should be out yet this year that's going to create more of a virtual community. We'll just create discussion groups and blogs for continuing education. Our chapters are doing quite a bit in terms of their local meetings, and they have local events like symposium. We have things like our Advanced Practices Council that are, you know, looking at state-of-the-art kind of technology revolutions and trying to get a handle on them before they become reality. And I think our greatest component is our regional leadership forum. We keep stressing leadership, and this is taking next-generation potential senior IT leaderships and CIOs and training them about, over the course of a year. It's a grueling component, a grueling education for 1 year. You're reading about 40 books and talking about them and talking to existing CIOs. I know I went through it a number of years ago, but it's a terrific experience. So I think our society is doing a lot to create the next generation CIO, the next generation leader.
Well put.
Thank you again. On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd like to thank you, Bob and Leo, for sharing your vision about the life of a CIO in 2012. What do you think? How did it go?
Thank you.
Thank you. It went well. Enjoyed it.
Hit a lot of really important topics that are top of mind for us.
Thanks again. Now, IT leadership has been leading a rather interesting life today when there is no dull moment and things are becoming more hectic and demanding. In 2012, a CIO's survival and success will depend on being more like a business person and more entrepreneurial in nature, where he or she would be handling multiple and changing priorities, and they'll be juggling them all along. Now, will a CIO be able to say in 2012 that, hey, I built the right foundation and processes, and I can take a two-week vacation, and nobody's ever going to give me a call? Now, that's what we will have to see, and time will tell. What do you think about the life of a CIO in 2012 going to be? Please send us your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care, and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.